Welcome to the 8 in the Box podcast. This is where we talk football. I am Dave Sherapan, the sportsbook consigliere. That's at SportsBKConsig on Twitter, on TikTok, on the gram too. We got all these social media things happening. I can't even keep up, but thank you for watching on YouTube as well. Podcast form, anywhere you find podcasts, YouTube, it's there. I'm not alone though. I am here with my guy, B. Howe, Brad Howe, at Brad Howe 07. B. Howe, you looking good. What's up?
My man, let's go. We got another busy week of college games. I'm behind, though. You handle the social media stuff. I'll take a look at Pro Football Focus and all the analytics because I'm not getting on TikTok. I'm not doing all that. You handle that. That's your deal.
Don't say not. You're just not doing it yet. We got maybe things planned. We may be doing forget Peyton and Eli. What if B. Howe and Sherapan watch a game together talking about in-game stuff? This is a little tease. That's in the business. That's what we call a tease. But forget about all that. We're on the clock. Good clock management last week. The show tight. Yes. There's clips available all over the place on social media. All the boys are doing a good job with that. I'm going to throw it right to you right away here. Kick us off. Where are we going? 8 in the box. What's number one?
We're going early. We're going a Thursday night game, so you better get on this one quick. I'm intrigued by this game. You talk about a really good group of five game. We've got Marshall at App State, the Mountaineers, -7 in this one, total 59.5, 59. Two really good G5 teams here. App State opens the season against East Carolina, handles their business, very nearly picks off Miami. Marshall, on the other hand, is bringing everybody back. They were very good last year. Quarterback Grant Wells is back. Experienced offensive line. They can run the ball. They have a defense. Somehow, they don't get it done against ECU last week. They gave up 21 points in the final 7.5 minutes, Dave.
Unbelievable how that
happened. Lost that game. They had almost 700 yards of total offense. Won the yards per play battle by almost 2 yards. So they had that game. They just didn't finish. Now it's a really good clash here. 7 points for App State. What are you thinking about this one?
So I've been looking at the openers at Circa. So Circa is actually opening the world lines now for college football. First, on Sunday mornings, right after the morning games kick off. It's pretty strategic time because nobody's looking. So it's interesting. Line opens 7. Bounced to 7.5 real quick. Went right back to 7. It's been sitting there this whole time. I think just based on just what you said, I think you're seeing a lot of two-way action. It's really interesting with this total. You figure that there would be a side already showing, and there's not. Nobody of any significance is moving the number. I'm telling you, I mean, I like it at this point, and we'll as we go through the games, I'm going to bring this up more and more, where you got to look at the quality of opponent. App State's almost win at Miami just trumps everything for me. I think so they're laying 7. That feels like the side for me. I know it's chalk, so I know you got to be on the same side.
I kind of like Marshall here I'm conflicted here. This is one I think I have to stay away from the side because I like Marshall. I think the line might be a little inflated because of the collapse last week and the common head-to-head opponent. They've both played ECU here.
Right.
This is a veteran Marshall team. Here's their issue. They've been having turnover trouble. They've been turning over in the red zone. Oh. They've been turning the ball over. Now, I know that's a big if, but if you go in there, tough place to play in Boone, North Carolina. But if you go in and don't turn it over, I think Marshall's live in this one. Again, that number's pretty good. But let me ask you this. All right, let's flip over. When we do this a lot, we'll see a side, nothing jumps to us. So let's immediately look at the total here. This 59.5 or this 59, I know you initially look at this and think over. Marshall is 3-0 to the over so far. Mm-hmm. Their offense was dynamic last week. App State can big play you with that run game. Chase Bryce at quarterback, the transfer from Duke and Clemson. He's on his third school here. Mm-hmm. So there's some offensive weapons on both sides. But both teams can run the football too, Dave. I'm kind of liking the under in this one. In fact, I like it a lot. I already took it. 59.5. I'm on the under in this one. Thursday night game, short week, two defenses that could show up. What do you think?
It makes perfect sense. I'm actually, now that you said that, you know me, I like to shade unders as well. And I feel like you've kind of morphed into that a little bit. Like you're looking at these college totals. It's way better than betting the pro totals. We'll get to that later on cash considerations. These pro totals are so hard. I'm with you. I think unders the side. I don't know how much lower it's going to go, though, because the perception with the offense is it bottom might be 58, but you got a good number of 59.5. I think under is probably the way to ride this thing.
All right, let's move to another intriguing one here. We're going to go, speaking of the NFL, we're going to go to Soldier Field, but not the Bears. We've got Wisconsin, Notre Dame in this one. All right, you got to make heads or tails of this one for me. What are we getting in this game? Offensively, Notre Dame, they've been able to throw the ball. They've big played at times on the ground, but they're not very consistent here. Defensively, I don't know what to make of them. They're giving up some big plays. Wisconsin, you watched them up close against your Penn State Nittany Lions in game one. The offense couldn't do anything. They got inside the red zone, couldn't finish drives. Graham Mertz still hasn't thrown a touchdown pass.
No.
What do we do offensively? Notre Dame, Wisconsin, you have a play here?
This is a hard game. And actually, they got to the number pretty quick. It opened 5, went to 6, 6.5, and has been sitting at 6, 6.5 pretty much all week. 46.5 in a college football game. How much lower are we going to go? Probably going to have to get to an Iowa game to actually get a lower total very soon. Hard side, but let's look at the schedules. Notre Dame played Florida State, Toledo, and Purdue. Wisconsin played Penn State, who, by the way, is 3-0. They're playing Villanova this week, so we're not going to discuss them. But they beat Auburn as well. I mean, Penn State has jumped right into the top 10. And they beat Eastern Michigan. They're off a bye. The bye trumps it for me. If I need a side in the game, I'm laying the points. I feel like you. That's two games out of the gate. I like both chalks. But I think 46.5, does that seem low? Like, are you going, who scores here? Do we get enough points to go actually over?
Yeah, see, I'm with you. I wish I would. Is there any way to get a 48 or a 49 and then I can dive under? I mean, it's a pretty good number because under feels like the play right here, right? It almost is like, okay, I want to go on the under and you show me that you can big play. I mean, listen, Notre Dame's got 30% of its rushing yards have come on two plays. So they have big played, but they haven't been consistent on the ground. You're getting a really good Wisconsin defense. I mean, you're right. That's a low total, and Iowa's not involved. If it's Iowa and you told me 24, I might still take the under.
this might be a team total under, right? Like we can look at Notre Dame team total under. I don't think they're going to score. I think they're going to have a lot of trouble sustaining drives and moving the ball against the Wisconsin defense. I just don't know if I can go over the game total because Wisconsin may struggle to score, especially. Yeah. How does he not have a touchdown pass? That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and that's part of the debate with Wisconsin. You thought their offense would be more productive than what it's been, and it just hasn't. It hasn't got it going yet. So to me, they should be able to get some pressure on Notre Dame. Notre Dame's replacing those four starting offensive linemen from last year. Wisconsin defense, you saw it against Penn State. We referenced that. I think this Wisconsin defense is pretty good. I think I'm back on another under. I have not played this. But I think I like the under in this even better than the side if I had to pick one.
Did you guys ever play a neutral site game? Does this mess everything up for both teams? I mean, it's a short road trip for Notre Dame, but like Wisconsin having to go to Soldier Field and play a game in Chicago, does this screw up the routine enough for both teams?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a wash right there because you'll have plenty of Wisconsin fans, right? You're not that far away. Right. You'll travel well. So, no, I think this is almost like a bowl game environment. So I don't know that I'm putting a lot of stock there in the environment. I just think this is one of those – I say this a lot on this show. You've got to show me. You would have to show me these two teams with pretty good defenses here can put points on the board. Now, full disclosure, I liked the under in that Florida State-Notre Dame game to start. Which looked like a dead under, except for like all of a sudden there was no plays, no yards, no yards. Boom, a 67-yarder. No yards. A 52-yarder. So I don't have any idea how to handicap Notre Dame, but to me this feels like points will be at the premium.
I'm not surprised they're dogs, and I'm not surprised the total's this low, but 47 is a key number in the book, like for totals, and it's already under that number. That may be one where you get that late touchdown and the game goes over and you're holding that under ticket going, man, I wish I would have had a better number. So tough call.
All right, let's go to another one that I think is a tough call. And that's the theme this week with me, Dave, on this card. I look at these, and I'm not sure there's a bunch that jumped out to me like the last couple of weeks. No. I think numbers are pretty good here. So let's move to this one. Texas A&M at Arkansas. Yeah. A&M. So here you go. A home dog. I'm just serving you a home dog right on the silver platter. You saw Arkansas play what may be its peak game of the season. They just dismantled Texas, handled them, looked very good, did whatever they want. Here comes A&M. 3-0 on the season, but without its starting quarterback. Again, you get a really good defense in A&M. You're going to get great line play. Total at 47, so it's right at that key number you just mentioned there. Do you have a feel on this one? A&M against what is a resurgent and a steaming Arkansas program.
So the number's now 5.5. It opened a 6.5, and it may bounce back to that. I wrote this down. Arkansas has played Rice, Texas, and Georgia Southern. Do you know Georgia Southern's nickname? What are they called?
They're the Eagles.
They are the Eagles. Man, this is going to be a fun game with you because you're probably going to get them all. Texas A&M has played Kent State, Colorado, and New Mexico.
Yep.
They're favored in this game. Are you kidding me? Like, they struggled. They're 3-0, but they're 2-1 against a number. They barely beat Colorado in Colorado. I saw this number and I thought this game should be definitely under a field goal if you're going to make Texas A&M favored. But now it's over a field goal. We got Arkansas in this home dog role, which worked out okay against Texas. My buddy Dr. Greg, he calls this one his penicillin play of the week. No matter how many bad decisions you made over the weekend, this play is going to make it all right. Arkansas money line plus the points for sure. Money line. I think Arkansas wins the game.
Oh, yeah. Look at you. That was a definitive. You didn't even waver on that.
No. Texas A&M may be a little bit overrated, Bihau. Maybe I'm reading into stuff, but I just don't think they're where they need to be to go into Arkansas and win this game.
Okay, so Arkansas's lost 9 in a row in the series. Mentioned that Colorado game with Texas A&M. They did lose their starting quarterback in that game, had to go a backup mid-game. So do you discount that any bit? We said we've seen Arkansas what is probably their peak. They couldn't have played much better. I don't know if they can have a better game all season than against what people thought might be an 8 or 9 win Texas team. And you haven't seen A&M peak yet. There's a lot of athletes on that A&M side.
Sounds like you like Texas A&M, huh?
No, I would probably – I would lean to you. I'll try and not take a chalky favorite. I'll take the home favorite too. I like Arkansas. I think Sam Pittman has done a great job in turning that thing in the right direction.
Quick.
They clearly have athletes on the roster. Now they're playing well. I'm probably on that side too, making Jimbo and A&M show me. But just be a little bit careful. Just be a little bit careful there. All right. Let's roll to the Big 12 for a couple of games. Here we go.
Yes.
Iowa State and Baylor.
Mm.
Okay, let me give you some numbers. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready for this one.
This is top two defenses in yards per play. Iowa State is number one.
In the country?
In the country. Yards per play, number one for Iowa State. Okay?
Wow.
Number two, Baylor. Say hello to Baylor making a resurgence. But to your theme of the week, Baylor's schedule so far, Texas State, Texas Southern, and Kansas.
Do you know Texas State's nickname?
Yeah, that'd be the Bobcats.
Coached by Jake. You know this stuff. I have all these things written down. You know these things?
Coached by Jake Spavital. Thank you.
You know the coach, too?
Yeah,
I picked the right guy to do this show with. Newbie, this guy got all the answers. I love it. He don't even have to look it up. So, all right, so they're 3-0. Number two in the country defensively. That's a trash schedule. Trash. They're 7-point home dogs. We love home dogs on 8 in the box. But do we like this home dog?
It's a home dog getting 7 points. You're right. They haven't played anybody. It is year two under Dave Aranda. So you do expect them to make a jump from what you've seen last year. The challenge here with Iowa State is just simply this. Listen, they are loaded. There's a reason they were a top 10 preseason team. Now, they couldn't get over the Iowa hurdle yet again. Matt Campbell cannot beat Iowa, hasn't beaten Iowa since he got there. But, man, they have got players. They've got 20-plus starters back. They got Brock Purdy, a 3 or 4 year starter at quarterback. Breece Hall, one of the best running backs in the country. They can't seem to get it going. Turnovers have been the problem.
Turnovers
specifically
are killing
with Purter. All right, so that's what you're trying to handicap. Those eventually balance out during the season, right? You eventually regress to the mean. They have had turnover problem. They have had red zone turnover problems. But they haven't shown they can be that high-flying offense yet because of that. That's a lot of points to overcome. But if you're going schedule strength so far, do you lean with that Iowa-Iowa State game? Iowa State was right there. If they don't turn it over in the red, let me give you some. Hold on here. Can I give you some Iowa get numbers against Iowa?
Please do it.
Iowa State held the Hawkeyes. Now, this is a loss. Iowa State lost to Iowa. Held them to 106 yards passing and 1.7 yards per carry on the ground and lost the football game.
Game?
Wow. Yes. Now, we talk about Iowa every week because we've hit their under two of the 3 weeks we've been playing. Right. So their offense isn't going to be lights out, but it was red zone turnovers for Iowa State that caused the problem. Iowa State goes out to your neck of the woods. They were in your backyard. You could have scouted them live against UNLV.
They brought all the people, man. They were everywhere. I was down on the strip. They were packed. I never saw so many Iowa State stuff. It was they were everywhere.
That's what they do. They bring it. They travel well. They've got a great fan base.
Are they going to Baylor?
Well, they probably won't go to Baylor. No, their trip was Vegas. They're not going to travel 2 weeks in a row. They took they loaded up on Vegas. They'll wait till you come back to Ames before they get reengaged. Okay. They're 7-point home dog. Number one, do you like that? And number two, can you get in on an under here? Can you play a little under? Are they going to try and is Iowa State going to try and limit Brock Purdy if they don't need him and run the ball? We know that Baylor has two dynamic backs, Tristan Ebner being one, who also returns kicks. Is this an under game? The total's not very high, 47.5 or so. Side total either.
It's got to be the lowest total in Big 12 history, at least recent Big 12 history. You've got a total in the 40s? I thought it was wrong when I first saw it. But now you give me these defensive statistics, and I'm like, okay, makes a little bit of sense. I still would lean over. This got to be, man, I feel like you with all this chalk, but this got to be Iowa State's get-right game. They start the conference schedule right now. This season starts. They lost the Iowa game. All right, we're not undefeated, but we can win the rest of our games starting with this one. I don't know. I think the turnovers, we can't handicap. I told you, once we figure that out, we're going to be done doing media. We're going to be betting, and we can retire. The kids will be set, you know, little house, little kid six, little share pants. We'll be all good. But until then, you just don't know. I think Iowa State, man, street games, street chalks. I'm laying it. That's a side for me.
You're taking a road favorite. Did we switch bodies here? What's happening?
I don't know what the hell happened, but it's true. I mean, these things, you talk about the turnovers kind of regressing to the mean and evening out. So do these home dogs. It's not an automatic every week, but the situation leads it to, at least this week for me, I like Iowa State.
One last thing to help you. Baylor, 2-5-1 against the number in its last eight conference games. But that was last year, first year under Dave Aranda, so maybe that doesn't mean as much. All right, let me go back to the under for just a second, and then we'll move on. These two teams are 7th and 8th nationally in opponent plays per game. So slow pace so far for both. Big sample size. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Iowa State, 35-15-2 in its last 52 games. That's to the under. 35-15-2. 8-2-1 in its last 11 as a road favorite the under. Let me give you Baylor, 15-7-1 in its last 23 to the under.
Oh, boy.
A lot of under.
That's
now,
why
last
this total's what it is. That's why.
Last year, 38-31, Iowa State won this. There was some offense that broke out in this game, but these have been under teams. Defense may be at a premium. All right, but you're taking the side. You're on Iowa State to get
over.
Right.
We're going over to the hell with all those numbers. We're going over.
I don't know why I prepare all these numbers. You're just throwing stuff out there. You just took my trends and said, get out of here with the trends. I'm going over.
Sometimes those trends are not your friends. Sometimes they are, but sometimes, you know, we can't be friends. Those trends, not this one, not this game. Keep them coming. What do you got next?
Fine, fair point. I'm not giving you trends. You're just going to make a pick here. I'm giving you Florida at Tennessee. Is Florida off a good loss? If you're the Florida program, do you have good losses anymore? Or do you just bat that aside and say, get out of here with your moral victory?
Listen,
that was a good loss.
You were in the athletic office. You had good losses, did you? I mean, those things sting. Doesn't it hang over, like, at least for a couple days? They were this close to beating Bama.
I'm looking at it more from, they were what, a two touchdown dog to Alabama. I'm saying I was kind of impressed that Florida hung around there. Our freight train of Alabama first half -7.5, go cash it. Took that straight to the window. But full game, Florida was around there. I wasn't sure they had the offense to be able to do that. They did, but now they're laying three touchdowns against the Tennessee program. Year one under Josh Heupel, they're going to want to go fast. They moved the ball on your Pitt Panthers, but couldn't get it done on that. What do they do here? Are you laying three touchdowns with Florida against Tennessee?
Tennessee played Bowling Green, Pitt, and Tennessee Tech. Do you know Tennessee Tech's nickname?
You got me on that one. I do not know that one.
Thank goodness. If you'd have swept those, they're the Golden Eagles. Okay. That's who they played last week. Florida has Florida Atlantic, South Florida Bulls, and then the Alabama Crimson Tide, who we know who they are. I don't know if there's a good loss. I don't know. I mean, with Florida has preseason expectations to, you know, win the SEC every year. That was a great game. I mean, they came back, they hung, they had a chance. It's all good. This one, I mean, you look at the class difference in games and things like that. Pitt went and lost to Western Michigan. So what does that mean? Tennessee lost to that team at home. They were a home dog. Everything in my power, everything you look at says this is probably Florida just runs them out. But no, I think you got to like the dog here for absolutely no reason other than it's too many points. There's too, like the number is reflected in that, wow, Florida hung with Alabama. That's all anybody sees, and that's what they remember. So this line should probably be 17.5. It's already 20.5. And, I mean, you know, I can't interest you. Oh, it's coming back. It's just 19.5, 20. So I think bad guys are on. They might be on Tennessee. That's the side I'm on. I know you don't want it because it's plus. You don't want no plus, do you?
No, I would lean Tennessee in this one. Have not you played would? It. Have what not is played going it yet, but I would right lean now. Tennessee, right? I'm trying to listen to you. I'm trying to take your advice, and you're coming in taking every road favorite on the board.
No, I like it. That's it. Tennessee for both of us. Uh-oh.
Well, that's that a sure goes. Loser. Price should fade that.
We might be dead.
fade that one right away. Okay, let's go another big spread here. Rutgers, Michigan. Michigan's been pretty impressive so far Jim Harbaugh under fire. Michigan's looked good. You can give me schedule again. I don't know if the Washington win ended up being as good a win as maybe you thought it would be in preseason. Rutgers, listen, Greg Schiano has got them back on track. I know their schedule, you're going to get into that with them as well. I'm not sure how good Rutgers is, but I know they're well coached with Schiano. Michigan's just running the heck out of the football right now. They've only attempted 37 passes. They don't even need to throw it. They're running it. Another big number. Do you trust Michigan in this to win by 18.5, 19, 20 points? Where are you?
It feels like a little bit like Jim Harbaugh has the FU to everybody tour working right now. We're going to run. You can't stop us. They got big play capability in the run game. They had a couple, you know, break through the line untouched. He runs 70 yards. Like, this looks like Michigan is getting, like, where they want to be in, you know, until they play Penn State, which we'll get to in another. We got that one circled for November. Western Michigan, Washington, and Northern Illinois. That's Michigan's opponents. We got Temple, Syracuse, and Delaware for Rutgers. You know Delaware's name, don't you?
Yeah, who doesn't? The Blue Hens.
The Blue Hens, yeah. Not really impressive. You don't see
too many. Couple famous alums there. Joe Flacco transferred from Pitt to Delaware before getting to the NFL. And then Elena Deladon, if you want to go a little WNBA talk, we can do that too. She was in Connecticut, transferred out of Connecticut, went to Delaware. Okay, go ahead. Continue.
How does he do it, newbie? My goodness. 2-3-0 teams, the spread's 20. Like, and when this made the list, I was laughing because I'm like, this might be one of the first times we talk about Rutgers, but the Rutgers play against Maryland was good. I think, man, I mean, you want to look for a reason to take Rutgers. How is Rutgers going to stop Michigan? Michigan team total over. That's the play, I think, if you like the total. Because I don't know how good Michigan's defense is. I don't think the odds makers do either. The number's 20. We're recording this on Wednesday. It's going to touch 21. it's going to at some point touch 21. Now, will it stay there? I don't know, because that's usually a buy point for the bad guys. But I'm telling you again, we picked eight games to talk about. I'm on chalk on all these except one. I would bet Michigan if I was going to touch this game, really.
Okay.
You?
I think you have to. Here's what Rutgers has done very well so far. Only five penalties, and they're not turning it over. So can that continue? Greg Schiano made a great point going to the big house here. We talked about environment. It mattered last week. We told you Virginia Tech was going to have a tough time coming into Morgantown. They did. We told you Auburn was going to have a tough time going into Penn State in a whiteout. They did. This may be another one here. If you're Rutgers going on the road to the big house here, this is tough. And Schiano made a great point. He said, listen, it's not the crowd noise that gets you when you go on the road in this environment. What gets you is the momentum. You've got to find a way to break momentum. When the momentum goes and the crowd is going bonkers, do your guys panic and get caught up in what's going on around them rather than the next play? And he said that's the hardest thing to convey to your team. This, to me, feels like if Rutgers gets it or if Michigan can get it going, this could get out of hand for Rutgers. That's a lot of points, but I would – as good as Michigan's looked so far, as much as Harbaugh's got to want to try and get some of that public perception back, this would be Michigan or pass for me, I think.
Yep, I agree. There you go. Good stuff. Good stuff, B-How.
All right, let's give you another one. I'm just bringing you nothing but big 2.5, 3-touchdown spreads today. That's all I got. I got big spreads.
That's it. That's what we're talking about. We got big spreads. I mean, this is that week that maybe is in between, like when the conference really gets started and there's still some cross-conference games. But – you know, when you got big favorites at home, this is what we talk about.
Well, I'm going to give you another one right now. We're going back to the Big 12 because they have started conference play. This is the primetime game coming up tomorrow night, 7:30 Eastern. You've got what, or coming up Saturday, 7:30 Eastern, excuse me. You've got West Virginia. I don't even know. It doesn't matter what day. We're just talking football. Doesn't matter what day. Friday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday. West Virginia at Oklahoma. 16.5. Oklahoma's favored by total sitting. You can tell me where we are as we record this 58.5, 59 here. So here's my concern. Massive win for West Virginia last week. We told you about the Black Diamond Trophy. West Virginia holding it up at midfield in what was a great environment. Very good win for West Virginia, although they came, if you're watching on video, that close to what would be a program-crushing loss, Dave. Virginia Tech had it from the 2 and couldn't punch it in to get the win. West Virginia's defense held. They almost collapsed, but they didn't. They get the win. Now they go on the road to Norman. Here's my concern from a West Virginia perspective and what I like from Oklahoma's side. People in Oklahoma aren't totally thrilled about what's going on first three games. Didn't struggle to get the win against Oklahoma or against Nebraska. They were in control of that, but didn't run away with it. Scored 23 points, lowest total since 2016. And that included a 2-point conversion off a blocked extra point. So the offense only put up 21. They weren't doing
against
Oklahoma
Nebraska.
Things.
Not against really Nebraska. Your juggernaut defensively.
And Adrian Martinez hit a couple big plays.
He did.
Now, if you're West Virginia, I'm concerned for a couple reasons. One, your offense has been pretty anemic against two power fives. You talk about strength of schedule. West Virginia's got it with Maryland and Virginia Tech in two of its first three games.
Yes.
Offense doesn't look great. Offensive line has been shaky at times. You're getting an Oklahoma pass rush that's top five in the country, and you're getting a Spencer Rattler offense that is saying, what do you mean we're no? What do you mean we can't score? You don't think we can score? You don't think we can put up points here? Now, it's a good West Virginia defense, or what appears to be, but is this a get-right spot for Oklahoma?
I don't believe this. You're like 10 minutes away from the school. And you're coming on here and you're saying you should probably lay it. That sounded like to me, you're telling me this is a get right game for Oklahoma. I'm coming on ready to say, listen, they played Maryland. You know what Long Island's nickname is, right?
Because Sharks.
The Sharks. Oklahoma played Tulane, Green Wave, love that. Western Carolina, you don't know this one.
The Catamounts.
Damn it. I mean, unbelievable. 76-0, the Catamounts lost. Now we got Newbie on the board ringing you up. I love it. 76-0. They scored all their points pretty much this season against Western Carolina. The Catamounts struggled against Nebraska. I don't know if the offense is going to get right because I haven't seen it right yet. I thought West Virginia defensively was pretty good against Virginia Tech. And I think it looked like to me, I didn't watch the whole game, but it looked like they may be able to slow this team down a little. I mean, if we can just keep them to 30, all we need is to cover. I mean, it's 16. That's a lot of points. I mean, right now, the line is 17, 17 and a half in some places. Like, there's not anyone that thinks that West Virginia is going to go and keep this thing within two touchdowns and a field goal. I'm taking the dog. I don't think it's a blowout. The total's tough for me because you're right. West Virginia's offense, I don't know anything about other than it, when they're running, they're rolling. If they're not running and we got to get first downs, we might have to get that defense on the field too much and they get tired and then this thing gets over the total. But my initial lean is under.
The 38-17 could be a possible score here. 38-21 is a possible score. West Virginia has trouble getting to 30. They did against Maryland. You go back over the Neil Brown tenure, they struggled to get to 30. So are they going to come in against the best pass rush in the country with a bunch of young offensive linemen and put up 30 points?
Can we get 24? If we get 24, I think that's
hard.
Number.
Man, that's hard. I mean, you're going to have to try and come up with something offensively. So that you hit the debate here. The debate is it get right for an Oklahoma offense that's not close to what it's been? I'm going to give you numbers here in just a second. Or is this just not as good of offensive Oklahoma team? That's the question you have. How about this for some yards per play numbers for Oklahoma? Going back to 2016, nationally, they were second. In 2017, first. 2018, first. 2019, first. 2020, 10th. Right now, offensively, Oklahoma, 33rd in the country in yards per play. So they just have not been moving it. But this is a dangerous spot here. Normally, I would be with you. Give me 17 points in a conference game against an Oklahoma team that hasn't got right yet. But this spot scares me for West Virginia a little bit.
Okay, that's good. I'm taking the points. When you get that little scared and this and that, you're like, all right, I'm going to lay it. And it's your team. I think we're going to keep this thing close. Do you think West Virginia has any shot of pulling an upset off?
I think that would be very surprising. They have not beaten Oklahoma since joining the Big 12. It doesn't feel like this is the West Virginia team that's capable of doing that.
Okay, so no money.
And when you've played close as West Virginia, it's when you had Will Grier, David Sills, Gary Jennings, Trayvon Wesco, all guys that are in the NFL right now, and you went toe-to-toe with Kyler Murray in 2018 and put up 100 combined points right, and had them on the road. You had to shoot out with Oklahoma. Very rarely have you gone a team that's not your best and been able to compete here. This spot scares me for West Virginia. Maybe you're going to be right, and that's enough points to take this. It's a scary spot if you're West Virginia, in my opinion. Okay. Right. We'll see.
You know what else is scary? This thing coming up. What do you got?
The highest total of the day.
Very
of the
week. Scary.
We had a last second audible. Good job, newbie. Love the sound effects on that.
Excellent
one.
Work.
We were originally going to talk Texas, San Antonio, and Memphis. The lines came out, it's moved. That thing is flying to the under right now, Dave. People are bringing that total down. So we made a switch. I got a new one in there for you. You ready?
Yes.
We're going Boise State and Utah State, 70. Right, you can tell me what the number is live, but 70. Here's what I've got for you. Utah State's been a nice little surprise this season, right? They've been a nice little surprise there. So far, they're fifth nationally in plays per game. Boise, 90th in plays per game, although they want to go fast. You saw Boise against UCF want to go fast if they can.
Yeah.
Boise State's defense is 101st out of 130 in opponent plays run, meaning their opponent runs a lot. So Boise gives up a lot of plays run. Utah State runs a lot against a Boise's team that wants to go fast. I mean, this thing's screaming. It's screaming over, isn't it? Do we take the 70 and sail this thing over?
So the current number, it's actually pretty crazy because there's like 69.5, there's 70, there's 69, and then there's a rogue 70.5, 71. Offshore. We got all over the place here. My first thought is over. Like, it feels like there may be 100 points scored in this game. Styles make fights, right? That's a boxing analogy. Well, if Boise State gives up a lot of plays and Utah State runs a lot of plays, expect that to play out as long as weather's not a factor. And turnovers could be a factor where we get short fields and go back and forth. I don't know. I mean, again, we've done this thing now. What is it? We've been under twice, I think, right?
Yeah, and last week went over, right? Tulane Ole Miss with Matt Corral. He went nuts for Ole Miss. He went over. You want to talk about early Heisman candidate, Matt Corral. Ooh, hello.
Early, this thing has plummeted. People have been betting the crap out of this. I mean, it's almost, it feels like it's even money now. Like, this guy's, all he has to do is stay healthy, and he's going to win the Heisman.
Now, too early. You don't want to be the September Heisman winner. September Heisman winner does not win it. So Matt might be peaking a little early, but they're fun to watch. I mean, Ole Miss is fun to watch. All right, back to this. So you just hit it. I mean, Utah State's going to run a lot of plays. Boise's going to let them run a lot of plays based on what they've done already this season. Now let me give you another one. Told you, Boise wants to go fast. You saw them do that against UCF. Utah State is 27th nationally in yards per play offensively. So they're having some success. But 123 out of 130. 123 in defensive yards per play. So you got to go over here, don't you?
Over.
I mean, that's a big number. You only need a couple stops. That's a big number. You got to go over.
Yeah, you need. You use that expression on the game within the game, which we recorded on Monday, which is also available. And the boys are hopefully going to cut that up as well. I think, it's got to be over. It's got to be over. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a reason to say lean under.
I'll give you one. Although, please. Again, have not played this personally, but I'm going to look at this just for our purposes here to have a little action on that one. But here's why. I have had to look at this four times. I need you to confirm with me. Is this game at noon? Is this a noon West Coast game? Do we have a body clock game here? Will this throw the offenses off? Is this a noon West Coast game? Am I missing this?
This is a 9 a.m. West Coast game.
Yeah. A noon Eastern game. That's
9
right.
9 a.m. That's why I couldn't find it. I went through the schedule twice because I figured it was on the back end. Then I'm like, wait a second. That is a 9 a.m. start. That could screw everything up.
But does it screw the offenses up? Does it screw the defenses up? Which side is sleeping? They're having their pregame meal at 3 a.m. What are we doing here?
I don't know.
So there, if you want a reason for under, that's a weird start time. It's too early. There's just a couple stops or a turnover here or there in the midfield that slows it down, or you turn over in the red zone. But I still like the over. But that was the weird start time. There's a little bit of a wrench into it.
That is a weird start time. All right, I got one for you. I saved this one a little surprise. So that's our analysis of all the games and the total of the week. But you always ask me, and you got always numbers and all this stuff. I wrote this one down as the B-House special.
Okay.
Do you know what the biggest point spread ever in college football history was?
Ever?
Ever.
No, I don't know the answer to that.
It would be Florida State against Savannah State in 2012. And I know you don't know Savannah State's nickname.
I don't.
I don't either. Actually, I was hoping our producer could maybe find that real quick for us. But the line was 70, okay? And you would have laid it because Savannah State had lost to Oklahoma State 84-0 the week before. And there was a running clock because they had lightning and they wanted to get the game in. And then the lightning got too bad, and they stopped the game 55-0. Okay, Florida State won, didn't cover. Everybody got their money back because it didn't go the required amount of time. Ohio State this week, B-How, is playing Akron at home. 50, minus 50 is the spread. 68 is the total. Please tell me you would lay Ohio State minus 50, the ultimate chalk. We call the chalk players dusty, dusty in the book because, how's that chalk taste? Dusty, are you laying or taking Ohio State minus 50?
Why do you do this? Why do you do this? On the game within the game, you bring me the Texas Rangers every week, and it makes me sick, and it hurts, and all they do is win. All you do, Texas has won 17 games in the whole baseball season. I think you've hit them every time. Almost. We talk about it on the show. We win. So we're making money on the Rangers. You're You're going to try and get me to take points with Akron. I got to be on Akron's
hurts.
Side.
Hurts. Get that paid in there. Get that paid. That hurts.
I think you won't I would do it, be. Will you? I think I would be.
You're laying, right? You're laying. This is, they're going to shut him out.
No, I think I'd take it, wouldn't I?
Does Akron score, yes or no?
No, probably not.
Probably a shutout, right?
Probably don't score. Can't they get one late? Can't they just give us one late?
If Akron scores, they cover. If they don't score, they don't cover. I think Ohio State puts up 55, 56, eight touchdowns is 56. They may kick a field goal just for practice. 59-62 is what they end up with. We gotta hope Akron scores. Otherwise, we don't cover the most ridiculous number on the board. But I saved that one.
I might have to throw a little pizza money on that just to have an interest. Now, I was on Army last week, -33.5 against Connecticut, and got backdoored late by Connecticut scoring one late. So I know I like the chalk, but you're starting to get heavy. That's a lot of it.
That's a lot of points.
I don't know if I can wash that down.
That's the whole big box of chalk, that stuff that, you know, used to just having that Crayola box of chalk. All right. You're the man. That's it. That's eight in the box. We talk football. By the way, Savannah State are the Tigers. Roar, roar. Just so you know, that's thanks to Newbie, Dan Newbert, Alexander at Newbie Talks on Twitter, for B Howe, Brad Howe 07 on Twitter, and me, Dave Sherapan, the sportsbook conciliary on Twitter, SportsBK Consig. This is eight in the box. We talk football. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you guys next week.